Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, this is Bella Younger, and this is the Deliciously Stellar podcast. This week, I'm going to be talking to nutritional consultant Kate Arnold about why she really can't stand Vega machines.
Are you really that scientifically stupid that you really believe it?
Also, I'm going to be going out and about to Bethnal Green Hotspot Paradise Garage, where I'm going to be meeting one of the chefs, Leisha.
Like, even over the last year, I've seen the massive increase of people with food allergies.
So I'm here today with Kate Arnold, who is a nutritional consultant, and she got in touch with us over email because she's going to tell us all about the horrors of the Vega machine. Kate, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Can you please explain what is a Vega machine, and am I pronouncing it right?
You are. It's Vega or Vega, or probably you can call it anything you want, really. It's a type of electroacupuncture device that is used to diagnose allergies.
So it sounds like bollocks, essentially.
It is. Well, you know, that's a spoiler alert. I think it is. but I think it's worth talking about it and making sure that people try not to become too convinced that this is the magic bullet for their food allergies.
So obviously a lot of people do suffer very badly from IBS and food allergies, and it's a real thing. And, you know, I'm not some sort of crazed denier, but this machine is news to me and I'm absolutely fascinated. What kind of a practitioner has got one of these machines?
That is the whole point. Anyone can have one. And they've sort of morphed from Vega machines, and they sort of came to prominence in about the 1950s. And I think they were invented in Germany. And then they've sort of morphed into things called bioresonance machines. So there's two things. There's not only the Vega machine, but the bioresonance machine. And they seem to have started their life in Germany. One of the guys that invented them has slightly spurious links to Scientology, which slightly worries me.
That's always quite damning.
Well, it is a bit. I mean, you know, I'm all for, you know, whatever works for anyone. But you just think that's not quite right when you're coming to health.
Mm.
And they are up and down our high streets. And where I live in East Sussex, we have two people here. And we've got another two other people who are fairly qualified, actually, who buy in these machines, and you hold a rod and, you know, some peculiar dial goes up or down, and they put various foods in vials and they put it on your hand and on your palm, and they tell you what you're allergic to or not. And I find it really, really frightening.
You see, this is lunacy. This is the kind of thing that my mum would be really into. My mum loves stuff like this. I was born with like a partially functioning kidney. She tried to cure it through homeopathy.
Yeah.
Like she loves it. But this sounds absolutely crazy. So I could go in essentially and they'd wave, I don't know, like some tomato ketchup over my hand and they'd be like, you're allergic because the dial says.
Yeah, exactly. And the big news is, you know, I mean, for nothing, I could tell you just to, you know, try to reduce coffee or sugar or whatever, and you'd be better anyway. So a lot of what they spout is the same, and it's pure coincidence if you do feel better. But, I mean, there's a funny side to this, but obviously that's why I'm talking to you as well. But there's also a really serious side.
Mm.
I mean, if I can give you a serious point, which absolutely shocked me and horrified me so much last year that I thought I've just had enough. And I'm one of these sort of people that wouldn't want to leave a bad TripAdvisor on someone's Do you know what I mean? If they're setting up a new business, I tend to think, well, I'd speak to them directly. But this person had had several patients of mine who'd come to see me on the back of seeing this other person who had these machines. And one of them was told that they had the breast cancer gene.
What? By this machine?
Yeah, seriously. I am not kidding. So they came to me completely panicked, massively stressed, and said, I daren't tell my GP because he'll just laugh at me, but I can't sleep at night. And I said, this is absolutely ridiculous. So obviously spoke to the GP, got her tested for the breast cancer gene. She did not have the breast cancer gene. So this goes over and above allergies. This is actually quite intrusive into someone's, you know, this is really, really important that we just don't let this continue.
I mean, that's actually incredibly dangerous.
Very dangerous.
I mean, I do joke a lot in my show about the people who think avocados cure cancer. But, you know, there are people out there who do things like this. And it's so irresponsible. And it's...
Well, I mean, the thing is, but with all this type of stuff, I think, number one, people are super vulnerable. And I think even some of my friends who I like to consider are fairly bright are completely engaged in this narrative. And you just think, how on earth does this happen to you? Because the people that are doing this are very, very convincing.
Yeah, one of my really, really best friends, who's a lawyer, he's incredibly intelligent, was very into homeopathy for a while. And we used to have extremely heated arguments about trying to cure things like bipolar disorder with, you know, a bit of powder. And I was just like, I'm really sorry, but it doesn't work. It doesn't. Mm.
I mean, I agree with you about homeopathy. I don't have such an issue with it because I think if it's done properly, it just does nothing. So there's almost sort of a neutral sort of, you know, hopefully it doesn't do anything. As long as it doesn't stop people getting the right advice, it actually does nothing. But these machines, I think, will do damage because they remove so many foods. So, for example, I'll give you another ridiculous story, which I heard last week, which is when I wrote to you. I had a vegan patient come and see me. Lovely, lovely woman. And she really wanted to be a healthy vegan. I have no issue with vegans. I don't. I mean, no. I have to be, you know, I have to be very sort of open-minded about everyone's, choices. And this was ethical. So on board with that, you've got to be a bit careful of what you choose. But she had been on one of these vegan machines in the same town as I had, where I live. And she was told that she was allergic to tofu, corn, pulses, and nuts. So I looked at her and I said, oh, okay, just talk me through this. She was really bright as well, you know. I said, talk me through this. Do you actually believe that you're allergic to all this? And she said, well, sitting here now, no, I don't. But when I was with this other woman, yes, I did. And I said, but that means you've got nothing to eat. That's all your protein sources. I said, what do you live on? She passed me her food diary. She lived on literally, Bella, I kid you not, lettuce and avocado. There was no protein. Nothing.
I mean, that just sounds absolutely horrific. What a way to live.
And she was really, really unwell.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And so the next question, because I'm quite challenging, the next question I said was, well, how much have you given her? And she said, £700. I went, oh, no, no.
See, really? that's the other thing, isn't it? It's, this whole thing is so expensive.
Yeah,
and it is. It's such a sort of middle-class problem, isn't it? This whole silly machines and giving away all your money.
It is, and I think, you know, if you're a, you know, if you're a girl and you want to get into your size 10 jeans and, you know, you get bloating and you, at the end of the day you're a size 14, I think you'll just do anything to keep a flat stomach, which is, you know, getting water pumped up you to anything. But the list of foods that these machines tend to give you is just extraordinary, and some of them are really good foods. So I am really worried, and I've been worried about them for a long time. I've also had personal experience of them because I was quite ill about 25 years ago, long time ago, super well now. And I went on some of these. And as I was doing it, I remember thinking, this doesn't seem right. But I was so desperate.
Mm.
And I was so ill, and I just thought, well, someone's just got to tell me what's wrong with me. And I bought into it for a bit, probably about a year, and I thought, I'm just as ill as I was. And so there's something that they do that enables, that pulls people in, that gives them very much false hope, which I hate.
Because you can completely understand how easy it is to fall into that sort of trap. Like, it's not stupidity or, you know, small-mindedness or anything that sort of sends you to these people.
Mm.
Because, you know, I agree, a lot of my brightest friends do get sucked into things like this. But, I mean, it's down to the people who are practicing it to sort of, you know, open a book and go on the internet and go, actually, I just, this isn't real and it's not helping people.
But they don't do that. They don't have any chemistry, biology, physics, any kind of science background at O-level or A-level or degree or anything, usually. I mean, as far as I'm aware, there's nobody. But they really genuinely believe that what they're doing... I mean, to be fair to a lot of these people, I think their intentions are fairly good. But you do have to question, well, have you... Are you really that scientifically stupid that you really believe this? And I think they do. I think they do. Obviously they do.
Yeah, they must do. They must do. So another thing that we really wanted to ask you about is I know that you know a lot about sugars.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by this because you open up all these wellness cookbooks and they're all full of coconut sugar and, you know, palm sugar and all these absolutely bizarre sugars I've never really heard of. And yeah. Some sugars are deemed healthier than other sugars. Like, can you explain? Is there any fact in this?
Well, it's a very, very grey area. And what I really don't like is the fact that when you do open up these books or you go on the wellness blog site, it seems to be very clear cut, and it's not clear cut. So, for example, you know, things like agar syrup or maple syrup, or whether it be xylitol, sorbitol or mannitol. I mean, you need a biochemistry degree before you even make these decisions. They're sort of, you know, sold as better sugars. And one of the big sort of recipes that has come out with all these wellness bloggers and all these people is these sort of caramels or any kind of sweet treat. Oh, you know, you can have the sweet treat because it's great, because it's made with all these great sugars. And actually, I think it's bullshit, really.
Yeah.
There is a very, very small amount of sugars that might have better health benefits. Things like, you know, honey, yes, they've got a few vitamins and minerals, whereas white sugar doesn't. But stuff like maple syrup and agar syrup, if you're using these to cook these recipes and convincing yourself that they're super healthy, they're just not. So, I mean, if you want to make a Mary Berry Victoria sponge and put a bit of white sugar in, I don't think it's going to do you any harm, really.
Yeah,
More harm than some of these that have already been touted. You know, that's my problem. I mean, I don't, you know, I think all sugar isn't great. And I think most of us know that all sugar isn't great. But what really annoys me is the popular sugar alternatives which are being spouted. And they are really unusual, aren't they? They all come from South America, or, you know, they've got some weird name. And you're thinking, oh, that sounds really interesting. Or they're meant to be low GI and all this kind of thing. And some of them sort of are. But fundamentally, you know, if you think something's more healthy, you're going to use more of it anyway. You know, and if someone says to me, well, what's better, honey or sugar? I'm just saying, well, they're both the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, ultimately, even something like a date ball can easily have as many calories in it as a Mars bar.
Totally, totally. And if you're diabetic, it will do exactly the same to you as a Mars bar will. Your blood sugar will go through the roof. So it's this lack of, you know, scientific background to really get people to understand that actually, you know, if you're trying to cut out sugar, just try and cut out sugar. But if you want to make a drop scone with a bit of, you know, normal table sugar, then just go ahead. Just be real. It's a sort of excuse to get people to have sweet stuff which appears more healthy, and I just don't think it is. I'm not convinced yet. I mean, I've been doing my job for a long time now, for about 20 years, and unless I can prove it in the blood, no one's getting a vitamin from me. You know, and with people coming off the Vega machine, they will come to me and say, I know what's wrong with me. And I go, oh, yeah, okay, good, tell me. Well, I've got candida and I'm zinc deficient and I need vitamin B12. I went, oh, great, that's fantastic. How did you find that out? Oh, the Vega machine. I went, okay, so let's start again from scratch. Let's get some blood tests done. 99 times out of 100, it will be wrong. You know, there will be the odd occasion where coincidentally it will be right.
Yeah.
So basically the science will only work by coincidence. So if you tell someone to cut out gluten, cut out dairy, cut out caffeine, cut out MSG, cut out refined foods, they might feel better anyway. But that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
That's just because they've cut out junk food.
Yeah.
And say, oh, but it worked for me. I think, yeah, but I could have told you that free. You know, you didn't have to give me £100 to tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. This has been so fascinating. I'm so pleased that you genuinely know so much about this, because, I mean, I've just found it absolutely baffling that people seem to group foods into these strange groups. Someone once suggested I might be intolerant to nightshades. I was like, what is a nightshade? I don't understand. And apparently that meant red peppers. And I was like, just because I got indigestion once after I ate too many red peppers does not mean that I'm intolerant to them. I just ate too much.
Absolutely. That's not sort of very trendy at the moment, but it certainly was trendy about 15 years ago. Everyone with arthritis was told to cut out nightshades. I mean, there is some small amount of evidence, but it's only for specific disease states, and it's usually arthritis. But for everybody else, I mean, a lot of those foods are really healthy. Aubergines, peppers, you know, and potatoes are great, you know. I mean, who doesn't want a bowl of chips every now and then?
Exactly. Who doesn't want a bowl of chips every now and then? Okay, this has been so interesting. Thank you so, so much for talking to me. Is there anything else that you want to have a quick rant about?
There's always something to rant about, Bella. I can tell you, I could go on for hours.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me. This has been a really, really...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Interesting.
My pleasure.
So, my mum has this this witch... This woman, she calls herself a cranial osteopath, but she is in fact a witch. She lives in this hut in the middle of a field in Scotland. My mum pays her like £100 an hour to move her hands like over my body but not actually touch me. It's absolutely bizarre. She like moves her hands very slowly over you, and she once told me that she had moved my womb. And she once told me that my special place was in the sea. So whenever I'm anywhere near the sea, I feel like I should throw myself in and something good will happen. But I'm, like, mortally terrified of fish. Like, I have an actual genuine phobia of fish. I would rather wrestle a lion than a tuna. I just feel like when you're in the water, like, there's nothing you can do. If a fish attacks you, not only are you being attacked, but there is the risk of drowning. Like, once, the witch told me that I really needed to get in the sea, and I was at a wedding in Newcastle. So I hurled myself into the North Sea, nearly caught hypothermia, and then spent the rest of the day wrapped in a foil blanket. I genuinely think the witch should be arrested. So I am here with Leisha Casey. Hello, Leisha.
Hey, Bella. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on the show. So Leisha is one of the chefs at Paradise Garage, and we are here in Bethnal Green, and I'm getting a tour. It's so cool here. I really like it.
Not bringing it this way. Come on.
Yeah, I always walk past here, and then I never come in, and I just wonder... I wonder what's going on.
So this is the back kitchen.
Okay, cool. It looks very kitcheny, very stainless steel.
Pretty much. So we're always closed on Mondays, so that's why everything's a little bit pickledy.
Yeah.
At the moment, and then basically the way it works in the restaurant is that we have like five sections. So pastry is normally here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like lots of chocolate and stuff, and that's amazing. That's one of my favourite sections. And then we have here, it's called larder snacks, and that's the pot wash area. This is the most amazing thing ever, this oven.
What is this?
It's called a Rationale, and it's like it's the most powerful oven ever. I love it.
What do you cook in here?
Everything.
Everything?
Yeah. Absolutely everything. And this is our ice cream churning machine, so like all our ice creams for desserts and everything. And churn them in there.
Oh my god, that's amazing. An ice cream churning machine.
It's literally like being a kid in like a sweet shop. It's insane.
Cool. So what I really want to do is I want to have a look at a menu. Oh, snacks. Beef, beer and horseradish salami. I would definitely eat that. You can probably hear some sirens in the background. It makes it sound very glamorous. Daphne's Welsh lamb. I wonder who Daphne is. So can you start by telling me, how did you become a chef?
So I used to work in human resources in Ireland. I'm Irish. And then I worked in human resources for about 7 years. And then it was like, I always loved cooking. Like I would spend my weekends and like evenings cooking. Yeah. My family is like crazy into food. We just like eating a lot, basically. And then about 5 years ago, my dad got very, very sick. And touch wood, he's actually fine now. And then I basically decided I was actually going to do what I wanted to do rather than kind of, you know, just keep doing what I thought that other people wanted me to do. My partner at the same time got an opportunity to move over to London. We were together in Dublin at the time. And then he moved over here with his job. And then for about 6 months, I was like, no, there's no way I'm not moving to London. I hate London. Awful place. Never going to go there. And then I was like, do you know what? This is amazing. I'm going to go to London. And I went over to London. And then for about 3 months, I didn't do anything. And it's the first time in my life that I haven't worked since I was 15. So I went to cookery school, I went to Leeds School of Food.
I also went to
Leeds. Did you go to Leeds? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. When did you go there?
It was offered as like an extra at my school.
Ah, okay.
So every Thursday after school, I'd go and I'd like make my Leeds meal, and then I'd eat whatever I made. Like, even if it was like a whole Victoria sponge, or if it was like a roast of four, I would eat the whole thing myself. And if anyone at school was like, oh, can I have some of your Leeds? You were like, no.
Yeah, like, no.
Even though you had enough food for eight people.
Yeah. So I went to Leeds, you did, and I studied there for 6 months, and that was absolutely crazy. It was like, I literally got to get up every single day, and you go into this like tiny little like cocoon, and all you're doing is like hearing about food, and you're like getting taught the best things, and that was insane. And then I started working part-time in the restaurant. I never planned to work in restaurants, and then I started working part-time in the restaurant, and I got addicted to it because I'm an adrenaline junkie, and it's like the best buzz ever working in the restaurant. It's insane. So I started working part-time in the restaurant, and then at the same time I was doing like private catering, like food styling. I was also trying to write as well, because when I was in Ireland I set up like a little blog that I was doing myself. And then in 2014 I heard that the dairy in Clapham, the head chef Robin at the time, he was looking for people, and they just needed someone for like a couple of weeks. So I went to do a couple of days at the dairy, and I walked in and I was like, this is absolutely crazy. I have to work here. And then I worked there for 2 years, and I pretty much just like gave up everything else. So I was like, this is what I'm going to do. After a year after I was there, Robin opened up the Manor, which is down the road from the dairy.
Right, yeah, I've heard of that.
And then last year he opened a Paradise Garage.
Yeah.
And then I moved here in January so that I could work here part-time and then do my writing as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff do you write?
So I have a column in the Evening Standard where I write about lunchboxes.
Lunchboxes?
Yes. So that comes about because when I was back in Ireland, still doing my job, and I was living with my partner, and it all sounds really like 1950s housewifey, but like I love cooking, so I don't really mind doing it at home.
Oh, me too. I always do all the cooking just because I like it. I find it really soothing.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like I love cooking because it like calms me and relaxes me. And then I started writing about them on my blog. So I was like putting up these little pictures and stuff with lunchboxes. And then I moved over to London, and then I contacted people about writing for them because I was like, I love doing what I'm doing, and I really just want to tell people about it. And then that's when I showed them. I was like, I'm doing this little column where like basically I'm making these lunchboxes, and it's like a really quick, simple lunch idea, because for me that's really important. It's like you go to like some other, like to a retail or a chain or something, you spend like £4 or £5, like even more, whereas I think if you spend like a little bit of time at home, you can make yourself something really nice and
because
tasty.
Because I think that's something that people say about clean eating is that it's really complicated and it's really expensive, and everything's got like 25,000 ingredients, but like that's just not what you're going for at all.
No, not at all. Like, I'm quite lazy. Like, I like to pass myself off as, like, a really, like, you know, hard-working person. But when I'm at home, like, I eat a lot of toasted cheese. That's my thing when I'm finished working here. Like, I go home and I make myself a little toasted cheese. But the whole lunchbox thing, it really annoys me. Like, even, like, a nice, obviously still go to places like Pret a Manger and stuff, and I buy myself a little avocado wrap. Because sometimes it's nice to do that. But you can literally make something yourself at home nicer, and you can season it, and you can make sure that it tastes nice, and you know exactly what's in it. And I know it sounds quite corny because everyone's going on about, like, that you need to know exactly what you're eating. But for me, it's like cooking yourself lunch, I think, is really important, more so than like breakfast or dinner. It's like when you're working at a desk job, like for me, that was always a little treat. Even if I was sitting at my computer and having it, I'd be like, oh, I'm having my lunch now. Like I'd spend a couple of hours looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I've got massive Edinburgh fear. I've got what my parents call the bear in my head, which is when I wake up at like 5 a.m. and I feel like I've just seen a bear in the woods, and I'm like, That is how terrifying being a comedian is. Don't do it. It's stupid. No, it's fine. It's going to be fun. The show's going really well. I'm quite nervous. Edinburgh starts next week. I'm sort of excited, but I'm more extremely nervous. My parents are very nervous because I go and stay at home for it, and I'm not sure they're quite looking forward to me reverting back to sort of toddler ways. Like, nothing gives you a mandate to behave terribly like unconditional love. There's nothing like it. My poor parents are going to be an absolute nightmare. Yeah, my mum has already pre-bought like 800,000 pepperamis. She's so cute. What she does is, because I get quite tired on stage because I'm a massive baby, about 40 minutes in, I really flag. So my mum makes me individual granola bars that she wraps in greaseproof paper and then sort of like ties up with a little bow. And I eat one just before I go on stage so that I've got like a boost of slow release energy. So mum's been busy making granola for about, I don't know, 10 days now. There's so much granola in the house, my dad doesn't even know what to do. I've got my sister flurrying for me. I've got my brother, like, starring in the show. It's a family affair. It is a family affair this year.
So back to the whole eat clean thing.
Yes.
Because obviously I'm on a mission to get the glow in this podcast. So do you think that the restaurant industry has felt any sort of, like, pressure to comply with like clean eating? Have you seen any sort of trends that have affected like the food that you cook?
That's really interesting. I think like working in these type of restaurants is basically about getting like really nice simple produce and making it taste better than it does naturally, or like even like something like at the dairy, say one of our dishes was having like, it was like a courgette puree, and then we have beehives on the rooftop. So it was like a little bit of honeycomb with that, and like this fresh curd, like a kind of like a soft cheese that we used to make ourselves. So for me, it's like, I don't think that working in the restaurant industry that you feel that you have to kind of cook that certain way. I've been very lucky to work in restaurants that always just kind of, that they cook like naturally healthy food, but it still tastes amazing. And for me, that's a massive thing. Like, it really annoys me. People are sitting down and eating food that doesn't taste nice. Like, that really just, that
what
makes
really
you
annoys
crazy.
Me is people who don't use salt.
Yeah.
That's my worst, because
it
they're like,
really,
oh, salt's bad for you. And I'm like, yeah, but salt makes everything taste better.
Exactly.
It really does.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the thing, the big thing about working in the kitchen, learning to cook professionally, is about seasoning things, like making things taste, like enhancing their flavour. And then when I see these people about not, like, I don't think like crappy, like table salt, I think you need to use like nice sea salt.
Yeah.
And I probably go overboard now, like everything at home, I'm like, I'm just going to put a little bit of salt in that, a little bit of butter, because I absolutely love butter.
Oh, I love butter.
I'm terrible for too much butter.
So obviously, by the sounds of things, everything that you make here is delicious.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to come and eat here.
You'd love
but do you ever get like difficult diners, like people who are really fussy or who are like, oh, I'm actually like intolerant to onions, and you're like, onions go in all food?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're very happy to cater for everyone's taste. But I think it is quite frustrating when you get someone saying that they're dairy free and then for the whole menu they'll like request things, or they're lactose intolerant, and then for dessert they'll be like, oh, I'm just gonna have a little bit of dessert now. And that's obviously very disturbing when they're happy to eat the ice cream. And gluten free is a massive thing. Little cousin has celiac disease, and I understand that if you have a genuine allergy to it, it makes you sick. But I think what I've noticed more and more, and particularly coming up to the summer as well, that people are like, no, I'm just going to have gluten-free bread. And probably because it takes a lot of time to make in the pastry section, I begrudge that when I hear people asking for it. Like, even over the last year, I've seen the massive increase of people with food allergies. And if it's a genuine allergy, you don't mind. But then it's literally that people are like, I don't want to have that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, gluten-free. It absolutely drives me mad.
Since like the start of the year, there's such a big increase. Like when I first worked at the dairy, it's like there were not these many allergies, and then now it's like everyone's allergic to everything.
Yeah, someone tried to convince me the other day that I might be allergic to peppers. She was like, nightshades. I was like, I think I've just got a bit of heartburn.
Yeah,
like,
or maybe you've eaten too much of them.
Yeah, or maybe I've eaten too much in general. Like, that tends to be what happens. Yeah, no, I definitely get that. But yeah, no, I've heard about people who are intolerant to garlic all of a sudden, and that means you can't.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah. Or onions as well.
Yeah. But you see, I genuinely think that onions belong in most foods.
Yeah, onions are amazing.
They are amazing.
That's one of my favourite things to do in the kitchen, is to sweat onions, or like to sweat shallots. I cook them on a really low heat, and then they taste all sweet and juicy. And like,
do you have any special tips for chopping onions and not crying?
I wear contact lenses, so it never bothers me. But when I'm not wearing my contact lenses, I cry like a little baby. Like, I can't deal with it. Whereas when I'm wearing my contact lenses, I'm like, I'm amazing. I'm a really good chef right now, because I can chop loads of onions. I literally could chop as many onions as you want once I'm wearing my contact contact lenses.
Yeah.
But I put on my glasses and like worn them, like I'm done, I can't do it.
My friend's dad, when we were younger, thought that he'd come up with the best idea in the whole world. He was like, I have invented these goggles in the shape of onions that I will sell to people to drop onions. It's like, he's Welsh, but it's like, Dabba, I'm just not sure.
Dabba.
Yeah. I just don't know. And he was like, they're going to be the ultimate Christmas stocking gift this year.
I
was like,
I want one.
You want some?
Yeah.
Well,
I've got my contact lenses, so I'm fine.
Well, I will speak to him. We'll get some sent over here. Get some sent to Paradise Garage.
You still sell them?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen him for a while, but I should definitely chase that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So of all the clean eating food trends, which is the one that you would least like to cook?
Kale smoothie.
A kale smoothie?
Yeah. No, I actually like kale.
Yeah.
If you like fry it really quickly and like with lots of olive oil and put loads of salt and black pepper on it. But kale smoothie makes me very angry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind kale that much as long as it's with lots of butter.
Yeah.
And then you know I love butter.
Or like olive oil is amazing and it gets a really bad reputation about it. But yeah, no, kale. Kale, and it's more the whole thing about that you should feel guilty about eating nice food. Like, that really annoys me. It's like, I get to spend my day cooking now, and I cook because I absolutely love it. And, like, the fact that you should feel guilty about food that tastes nice and that makes you feel good about yourself, that's the thing that really pisses me off.
Well, thank you so, so much for letting me come and look around. It's been so fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I definitely am going to come and eat here soon.
Thanks so much to my guests this week. Thank you for listening, and...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And I will be back next week.